Lord, we ask that you would take Rachel's words, that you would bring them to us, that we would hear and receive them with the love that you deliver them to us. And we just pray that this evening you would come by your Spirit and speak powerfully through Rachel. Amen.
Thank you, Claire. Well, good evening and happy new year. I hope you've had a good Christmas in spite of the restrictions we're under to keep us safe. And I know we're in a very difficult place in the pandemic, but last Sunday, Michael spoke so well about how to respond as Christians to the pandemic. And next week, we're beginning a sermon series on resilience in a pandemic. So I think the pandemic is getting plenty of airtime. So as it is Epiphany Sunday today, I'd like to stay with Christmas for one more week and begin the year considering this wonderful, mysterious story of these wise men setting out on an adventure to find the King of the Jews so they can pay him homage and honour. And I hate to spoil the traditional nativity story, but actually the scripture calls these wise men magi. Well, magi were actually astrologers and sorcerers from Persia. Perhaps the church has felt uncomfortable about astrologers using their practices to find Jesus, so they soon became known as wise men or kings. But the thing I like about calling them wise men is that you can take this very simple message from the story that I'm sure you've heard before that's on the first slide. Wise men still seek him. And we recognise in today's story that these men were wise because they set out to follow the star and they searched for the Christ child. They persisted in their quest even when they didn't find him at Herod's palace. And they followed the scriptures which pointed to Bethlehem. And then they had the faith to believe that in spite of Christ's humble beginnings, that he truly was a king, and they bowed in worship. And we look at their example and realise we should seek and follow Jesus with that same persistence and faith. And so really, I want to begin this year with a simple message. Let's follow Jesus. And I would also say there has never been a time more when we needed to keep our eyes on Jesus. But why would we want to follow him? Well, there's loads of reasons, but a few I've thought of tonight. Firstly, he's worth it. He may have entered this world as a baby, but he is the Lord of creation and crowned with many crowns in heaven. And as I've mentioned, today is called Epiphany in the church calendar, which means a moment of great and sudden revelation. And the Magi experienced an epiphany to realize that this child, Jesus, in his humble beginnings, was worthy of their worship because they knelt in worship and offered him their gifts. And scripture describes Jesus as the King of Kings. Well, kings in our society don't often have much power. They're more figureheads that help to boost tourism. But kings in Bible times had far greater power and authority, but not all the kings were good and worthy of worship, though they often demanded it. But we know that Jesus is a good king, a humble king, a loving king, because he came to give his life on the cross to save us. And that is why heaven cries out worthy and worships him. He is a king I want to follow. And the next slide has a great quote from C.S. Lewis. Look for Christ and you will find him, and with him everything else. He is worth pursuing. Secondly, we follow him because we're invited. And Jesus says to each one of us, young and old, follow me. The wise men were not Jewish. They were pagan astrologers who practiced magic. And yet there was a hunger in their hearts to meet the king. And they were the first non-Jewish people that become followers of Christ as he comes to earth. And so God shows through calling the Magi to come and worship Jesus, that we are all invited, and he longs for all of us to have a relationship with him. No matter our starting place, our past doesn't matter, we are all invited. And thirdly, we follow him because it's an adventure. Well, perhaps some of us feel like 2020 has been enough of an adventure of faith, and we're just hoping for a quiet 2021. But I've always liked the adventure of following Jesus, and all of us, we're going to be living in different ways this coming year, and it is going to be an adventure of faith for all of us. The world has changed in so many ways, and what we see from the adventure these wise men had was that God guided them on their journey and protected them from Herod, leading them home on a different route for their journey, keeping them safe. So following Jesus is a call to faith. We too don't know where he will lead us, what adventures of faith we will have, and the different directions we may go in this year. But we know that he will be with us and guide us and protect us as he guided and protected the Magi. I know at the moment we're not allowed out of Letchworth, but in the past, mission trips have had a big impact on my life and could still have in the future. Or even mission within the UK. And Michael spoke last week about the lasting impact a trip that he went with the church to serve a church in Bradford had on his life. And even if we stay in our own towns, God will lead us to people and places we may never have gone to otherwise without his guiding and prompting and encouragement that he is with us. So the next slide just summarises those three reasons I've described. We follow Jesus because he's worth it, because he invites us to, and because it's an adventure. And I'm sure there's many more reasons. And now I just want to think briefly about how we can follow him. Where should we look for him so that we can follow him? Well, these days, if we want to follow someone we admire, we use Twitter or Instagram. I think you may struggle to find Jesus on these platforms, but you may find some helpful posts from other people who are following Jesus and can point you in his direction. Let's consider the Magi again. But just as I go through these points, I know that they may seem very basic. I'm sure they're familiar to all of us, but they're so foundational to staying close to Jesus that I think they're worth repeating at the start of the year. So we see firstly with the Magi that they follow it, they see a star, which then reappears later when they've left Herod's palace. And then they're warned in a dream not to go back to Herod's palace, but to go home a different way. Well, I would say that the Holy Spirit was guiding them, firstly through the star. They were used to reading the stars. So God spoke to them through a medium that was their language that they were used to. And then through their dreams, another way that God can speak to us. And the Holy Spirit may do the same thing for us. And the second way, obviously, is through scripture. And when the Magi arrive at Herod's palace, we heard in the reading that he consulted the chief priests and they found a verse from the prophet Micah that said that the king would be born in Bethlehem. Though it's interesting that the chief priests didn't then go rushing to Bethlehem to find the king. We always have a choice whether to act on what we read in scripture. And so scripture plays its part in guiding the Magi to find Christ. And if you don't already have a reading plan for the Bible, please start one. And even if it's a few verses each day or you're trying to read the whole Bible in a year, I've used Nicky Gumbel's The Bible in a Year app for a few years now. I'm still enjoying it. And he's even brought out an express version this year, so you can do it in even shorter time. But it has a short commentary on the passage, and I just find it really helpful. It helps me understand it, and it's in short chunks. And you can even just play it as an audio file and listen to it. I just find that helpful. But there's so many different tools out there for daily reading the scriptures. And there's been so many times I've been facing a problem, I haven't known what to do, and just the verses that day, God's spoken to me through them. And then the third place we'll find Jesus is probably not a surprise to you either. I'm going to say at church, or should I say online church. Either way, we can find Christ there. So I was thinking about the story of Mary and Joseph when they head home from a festival in Jerusalem, but after a few days realize Jesus isn't with them. And so in the end, they go back to Jerusalem and they find him there in the temple. And he says to them, "Didn't you know I'd be in my father's house?" And he's listening to the scribes opening up the scriptures and he's talking to them. And I know lots of people in the church are in small groups and study scripture regularly together with each other. But do get in touch if that's something you're interested in doing. We've got lots of groups meeting on Zoom. And you know, that's why we do this church thing. We don't follow Jesus on our own. And the Magi were not on their own. They worked together as a team to find Jesus. And I've mentioned prayer. There would have been regular prayer at the temple. In the beginning of Acts, we read that it was 3 p.m. in the afternoon, the time for prayer, and Peter and John were going to the temple to pray. Well, I used to think it was really legalistic to have a fixed time for prayer. But the older I am, I actually find it's helpful to have times in my schedule when I pause to pray. And we know that Daniel in the Old Testament always prayed three times a day at the same time. And God used him mightily to influence Babylonian kings. And we know from the gospel accounts of Jesus' life that he was always disappearing off in the early hours to be alone with his Father in prayer. And when he teaches his disciples how to pray, he says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So maybe this year, God wants to bring you into a new season of your prayer life or a new rhythm of prayer. Over the years, I've had different seasons in my prayer life. Sometimes I've been prompted to get up in the night. Some other time I felt very drawn to go to a church regularly and pray and light candles. At the moment, I'm using the Lectio 365 prayer app that I know Claire would recommend as well as I go for a walk in the afternoons, and that helps me pray. And perhaps the Holy Spirit wants to lead you into a new rhythm of prayer this year. And finally, the last place I'd like to suggest we will find Jesus is with those in need. I'd like to read from Matthew 25 an excerpt. It's from the parable of the sheep and goats. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So I've summed up the ways we can follow Jesus on the last slide that should appear now. And I'd really just like to echo Michael's rallying cry that he made last week when he read out Psalm 72 and challenged us to what our response should be to the needs that surround us in our own communities and across the world as the result of the pandemic. And my prayer is that the adventures of faith that the Holy Spirit will lead us on will be that our lives would be good news to the poor. And we will find Jesus as we help the sick, the hungry, the prisoners, and welcome the stranger. Amen.